Good morning, everyone. This is Francesca Hong. I am joined by the amazing Kristen Bray and the phenomenal Nada El-Mekashfi. And this is Sharp Elbows. How are you, Kristen?
I'm good. I'm a little sore. I worked out for the first time in a month yesterday, so it was a little hard getting up and down the steps this morning. But besides that, I'm getting by.
Good on you for working out. I think, you know, I decided to give that up for Lent and COVID and, you know, just.
How's that going? How's that working out for you?
Is it still Lent? I'm not sure. I don't know. I just said that. But yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like spring might be coming, and I hope I didn't just jinx it by saying that, but it's a beautiful day out after kind of a really crappy week. But I'm stoked that I'm able to share space and have conversation with you this morning, as well as for those who are listening. Remember, as always, we welcome you to join us and call in. The number is 844-967-2789. Again, we are joined by the amazing Kristen Bray of On Goes Wisconsin, who joined us last time, and we thought you were so amazing that we needed to have you back again. So outside of being a little sore, any thoughts on some of the amazing things that happened at my place of work this week?
Oh, wow. There was a lot. There was a lot that happened. I actually, there was this trend on TikTok. For anyone who doesn't know, most of the stuff that I make is on TikTok, and then I post it on everything. But it was, the trend was originally started as making texts from my husband into inspirational quotes or something silly, or like quotes from my ex, or like texts from my ex. So I was like, oh, I can do this. And so I went on Canva and made a bunch of like Pinterest looking inspirational quotes out of headlines from the news this week in Wisconsin. And it was both funny and sad. And so there
was. Can you share some of those?
Let's see. I did. Let me pull them up exactly as they were. But it was basically, it was the one how we have wanted past honoring Rush Limbaugh, but did not pass honoring Black History Month. It was the lawsuit against the GOP for using taxpayer money to hire redistricting lawyers before there's even a court case.
Yep. $1.4 million, y'all, of your taxpayer money are going to attorney fees for Voss and Lemieux. Just think about that one.
Yep. And then there was the one about how in the Rules Committee decided to basically overturn or like lessen the both the restrictions on conversion therapy and actually enforcing anything about PFAS and accountability for forever chemicals. And then there was the one on Voss turning down $1.6 billion in help for healthcare. So
yeah,
crushing it.
Yep. And blocking the not blocking the 1 week waiting period, which is now has been reintroduced and is costing the state $1.6 million a week. So, yeah, really just absurdity at my place of work. But I want to go back to the Rush Limbaugh resolution that Andre Jacques, Senator Jacques, and Representative Shea Sortwell introduced, which was passed in both chambers. In the assembly, we had Jesse Rodriguez was the only Republican to vote no. And then in the Senate, I believe we had two senators abstain, and we may have had one senator say no, but it is, it was an embarrassing abomination of a day that we had legislators who are paid by the people of Wisconsin take, you know, upwards half an hour to an hour to pass a resolution honoring a white supremacist whose pervasiveness in perpetuating white supremacy culture has so many implications that I think a lot of people just don't even recognize, you know, with conservative talk radio and really taking up so much space and building into people's political identities. To say it was harmful is an understatement, and to say that his existence was an endorsement of racism, misogyny, discrimination, and xenophobia, I think is what we honored. I want to thank my colleagues, Representative Myers, Lakeisha Myers, Representative Beth Myers, and Representative Christina Shelton, who spoke brilliantly on the floor, and I encourage listeners to check out WSI. Their speeches on the resolution were powerful, and I hope more folks watch to kind of, you know, be moved by the fact that you do still have allies in the legislature. There are still legislators who understand that our job is to protect the constituents of Wisconsin and be in service to you all, and not continue to harm you. So yeah, it was a difficult day and an embarrassment of a day for the legislature when we voted on that. But yeah, the resolution passed in both houses, and I hope that folks recognize that you cannot divorce that party from racism. There is no way you can do that at this point. And I know that there have been some articles that have come out disputing that, but you know, we're seeing with, you know, the resolution passing and how kind of the media is shaping what happened in Atlanta, which was targeted towards harming, killing Asian women and those in you know, massage parlor industry and those who've engaged in sex work previously. It's all intersectional. It's all connected, and it's all telling of our country really being built on horrendous policies and you know, impacted by the culture of imperialism, colonialism, and that has led directly to the misogyny and racism and discrimination that is again pervasive today. I want to not sound like such a downer and welcome Nada. Good morning.
Good morning, Wi-Fi issues. How are you both?
Oh, that's a loaded question, my friend.
It was the first question I had on our script. How are both of you? Well,
go ahead, Nada.
It's been a week, you know, having the Rush Limbaugh resolution and hearing, you know, Representative Hong speak and her colleagues who are each, you know, affected differently by Rush Limbaugh and his words and this kind of conservative culture of white supremacy, was something that I didn't anticipate, you know, 3 months into this job. And I think what was kind of traumatic was the fact that you know, some of your colleagues were smirking or laughing while you were asking them, begging them, you know, to care for your kids as you would care for theirs. And so this dehumanizing aspect of white supremacy, I think now on Saturday I kind of feel it physically in a way that I haven't ever before, where it's just, it takes from your soul, because I think as a Black woman, I would never view someone else like this in a way that is just so not only dehumanizing, but kind of hateful. And you know, there's this, I'm wondering if both of you are triggered by, you know, this idea that we're playing identity politics when we, you know, are speaking truth to power, when we're criticizing racism and issues of disparity and inequity. And for me, it's like this society was built on identity politics. White identity politics is what they play and have continued to play. So it's something I wanted to talk about this morning, is just how do we fight this kind of messaging from the right of, you know, if you get mad that, you know, Rush Limbaugh would call Barack Obama our president, Barack the magic N-word, you know, how do we combat someone saying, oh, you're upset, it's identity politics? It's just really frustrating. Kristen, any thoughts this morning on such a heavy topic?
It's I was thinking about this a lot because I think we're also speaking two different languages, because there's those of us who took sociology 101 or studied gender studies or studied, you know, ethnic, like different things that gave us a language to talk about the nuance and experiences of other people. And we bring kind of that academic language to the gray area of this. And we're talking to people who never have even picked up or done any of the work to deconstruct what we all internalize, whether it's misogyny, classism, racism, all of the things that kind of just are the pollution that we grow up with. And so I don't even know, how do you find the common language to not necessarily, I don't want to say meet people where they are, because I feel like that doesn't hold people accountable, but it's like to at least pick away at the assumptions and the stereotypes, because I think it's like there's some things that are so obvious to us that it then becomes so obvious for them. They're like, well, it's not a noose, it's not a white hood, how could it be racism? And that is the part that I struggle with, of like you said, like, how do you combat it? Because just yelling at them and just throwing your arms up, it definitely, for those of us who already believe it, it's absolutely like, this is infuriating, but I don't know how that changes people's minds or gets them to see it in a different way.
I think identity politics, when that gets used as the response to, you know, the libs just make it about race, and they always, that's all, it's all about race to them. Talk to me about identity politics when I have, you know, the freedom that you talk about having and the freedom that you talk about being the cornerstone of democracy and society. I don't have that freedom to build my own identity. And I think that's what folks need to recognize, is that when we talk about equity, when we talk about discrimination, when we talk about disparities, it's not just me who doesn't have the freedom to build identity. It's you know, so many people have been left behind in this state, and we need to be able to, when you say common ground, understand that a lot of our shortcomings, a lot of our sufferings, a lot of our pain is similar. And as much as I would like to not have the conversation be steered towards, you know, shared grief, that is a powerful tool for people to see that, you know, we all are capable of feeling pain, and so can we come together with that. On that happy note, we are going to go on break. Remember that you can call in and be a part of the conversation. The number here is 844-967-2789. You're with Nada El-Makashvi, Kristen Bryan, Francesca Hong on Sharp Elbows. Good morning.